your quest for gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We are 91 days out from the Paris Olympics. USA Swimming has responded to a report that 23 Chinese swimmers failed drug tests ahead of the Tokyo Olympics, but were still able to compete, and some even medaled, including China's top female swimmer Zhang Yufui, who tested positive for a banned substance, then went on to win four medals, including two golds. The positive tests were reported in a collaboration between German publication ARD and the New York Times. In a statement, USA Swimming said it is extremely disappointed to hear the allegations reported and looks forward to swift action and resolution. China ended up winning six swimming medals in the last summer games. It's unclear if any of those medals will be stripped. An independent investigation of the World Anti-Doping Agency will look into how the swimmers were able to compete despite the positive tests. 13 U.S. wrestlers secured spots on the Olympic team this summer at the trials last week in Pennsylvania. Five others are a step closer, but they still need to formally qualify. For Helen Maroulis, this will be her third Olympics. She won gold in Rio and bronze in Tokyo. Chicago native Joseph Rau punched his first ticket to the Olympics. He came out of retirement. And Sarah Hildebrandt will be back at the Games. Anti-terror police in France have arrested a 16-year-old they say was plotting a suicide bombing at the Paris Games. French officials say the boy made a public declaration on social media. At the boy's home, they reportedly found handwritten notes sympathizing with the Islamic State. Novak Djokovic is eyeing the Summer Games in Paris. The 36-year-old Serbian won bronze in Beijing in 2008, but has never won gold. He's put the Olympics at the top of his goals set for 2024. Next week, IOC President Thomas Bach will introduce the refugee team. These are athletes who come from around the world and are able to compete as one singular team after having fled from their home countries. The Olympic Refugee Foundation selects the athletes to compete in the games. The program has been in place since the Rio Olympics. Our athlete spotlight this week features American men's gymnast Yoemil Dauer. The Tokyo Olympian is an eight-time gold medalist at the Pan Am Games. He racked up numerous awards at the collegiate level as well, and now he's looking to up his game for the Paris Olympics. He's not officially named to the team yet, but appears to be well on his way to his second Summer Games, and he's already thinking about his third Summer Games. A handful of reporters, including myself, had a chance to fire questions at him during a roundtable discussion at the Team USA Summit. He admitted going to the Tokyo Games really increased his profile, especially on social media.
It's honestly, at times, it's like, holy cow, it's so much attention. And so once it kind of dies off, you kind of get that time to reflect, relax, be with your family, be with your friends. And then, you know, the next year you've got big competitions again. But I think the good thing about the Olympics, especially for gymnasts, it's a really good time to really make a name for yourself and keep a following. I think before the Olympics, I was at like 30,000 followers. And then after, I was at like maybe 60 to 70. And so it really helped me get an audience that I could really talk to and try and get them to keep following me and keep sharing my journey too. And what's crazy is it really did open so many opportunities for me and my team. We've got international sponsors, we've got some, you know, local quick sponsors, we've got sponsors for apparel. So it's been like really nice. And I think if you don't look at it in a negative way, instead of looking at it as an opportunity, you can, you know, use that as a good point and then, you know, slow down. It won't be so hard on you mentally.
But it sounds like you're not just a gymnast now, you're a brand, you're a corporation. So how do you juggle it? How do you manage that?
I try and stay true to myself. I know that I am in the view of the public, and I do influence younger people, older people, gymnasts, non-gymnasts. So my job is to say, take every achievement that I've ever earned. Who do I want to be remembered as? And I want to be remembered as someone that made a difference in someone's life in a positive way, not because of winning, not because of the Olympics, but to really motivate them to be a better person than they were yesterday. I think today we live in such a crazy world where everyone is almost, in a way, selfish, and we forget to care for each other, forget to be supporting each other. So I really want to show that there's still that love, that we're all human, and that we should all strive to push ourselves to be the best.
So talk about support. You know, in your Olympic debut, it was really unique in that you didn't really have an audience or spectators. So, you know, how does crowds impact your performance? Or if there is an impact?
Oh, a huge impact. I am a crowd person. I love crowds. But it was very different going at the Olympics. It was hard, but I knew looking into the camera that we had all of the supporters we needed. And especially going into that venue, I could feel in the air just the energy of wanting to do well. It didn't matter if there were people in the crowds. It didn't matter if you had to do the double nose COVID test. You know, we were there for a purpose. Yes, there were things that weren't fun and weren't unexpected, but again, that's part of an athlete and being able to adjust quickly and just do it for your team, for your country, and for each other.
You mentioned earlier that you like sports and you're excited to kind of see other sports. What are the sports you most enjoy?
So actually, I'm a big hockey guy. Playoffs are starting, you know, really soon, so I'm super excited for that. I'm a big basketball fan. I mean, honestly, Colorado is such a sports state. We've got good... Well, the Rockies aren't so good. But the games are fun. I've only been to one game, but it was really fun. But I think the reason why I like sports so much, it's because I don't judge someone on what sport they play or do. I look at them and I respect them because they're going through something that I can relate to. Their early practices, the sacrifice of not going to your school dances, the time, the soreness, the extra work, just kind of living like a different life. And so I really respect all those people, and I like watching it because sometimes I can even pick up on things that they're doing in their mindset and just the way that they're on the court, the way they show themselves. And I'll take key things from different athletes. I'm big on watching sports documentaries. It helps me a lot with my mindset and what people did to make them successful. So it's maybe it's like reading books for me.
What's one of the sports docs that you like?
I honestly really liked The Last Dance. I thought that was one of the best sport documentaries I've ever watched. I also watched the Tom Brady one. I think it was on Amazon Prime. That was amazing to watch. I also watched the Conor McGregor one. They're all very different athletes, but if you take a step back, they have all these just like very key traits that you can take within them.
So the follow-up is, you know, once you're in Paris, who is the international or U.S. athlete you want to have to sit down with or just shake their hand?
If I could shake any U.S. athlete's hand, I think I would definitely want Michael Phelps to be in there. I would want, I forgot her last name, it starts with a B, Lizzie, the swimmer too. Liz, no.
Kaylee,
yeah, my bad. Her. But I also really want to meet the skating team. See, I just want to meet everybody because I think they're all so unique and special. Actually, I would dress up as a fan and try and shake all the athletes. That's what I would do.
So now with less restrictions, you know, going into your second games, do you think socializing with other Olympic athletes is what you're most looking forward to in Paris, or is there something else that you're most looking forward to?
Well, okay, so I haven't made Paris yet. We still have trials.
Yeah.
But if I were to go, I would definitely make sure I got my job done first. And then once I'm done, I would go to every single sporting event and cheer on Team USA because I've always wanted to feel that at Olympic Games. Yes, meeting athletes and meeting them is really fun, and I'm a social guy, but the Olympics is known for cheering for your country, and I just want to feel that actually in the audience and with people around me, maybe not even knowing the athlete's real name, but just cheering a USA athlete on with other people, waving the flag, seeing them win a medal. I think that's like just something I've always dreamed of.
How have you changed and grown from the last Olympic cycle? Is there anything you've done training-wise that's been different mentally? Looked at things differently?
Training-wise, maybe a little bit, just because I am getting older and training plans tend to change the older you get, but gymnastics, it's almost like the same routine, you know, 6 days a week, two practices a day. Sunday, it's not really your off day, it's more rehab. I go get a massage, go lay under the red light. But the mental side, I almost feel younger going into this one than I do in Tokyo, because I think when I was heading into Tokyo, COVID happened, just a whole bunch of just external stress was there. And this Olympic quad has just been very peaceful because I kind of know what to expect. I know the competition season, and I know that I plan to keep training for LA. So it's kind of like learn from Tokyo, adjust what you need for Paris, but also think about LA. So I'm actually, some days I train two different types of routines, because next quad, the rules are changing for gymnastics, so it's good to start practicing a little bit now, but also staying focused on this Olympics. So I guess I would say mentally it's been a lot different, but in such a good way, because we don't have COVID, you know, and I think it's just nice knowing that the known is known instead of the unknown. We didn't know if the Olympics were actually going to happen for the longest time. You know, it was maybe a few months before they were actually solid. So it's like you could go to Olympic trials, make the team, and then boom, they could be canceled. So I think this year it's actually been nice to really just focus in on training.
How concerned are you about college men's gymnastics surviving with all the conference realignment, all, you know, gone from Power 5 conferences down to Power 4, and I think there's 13 men's programs, and what schools like Stanford may not be able to afford to keep it, you know, and Cal's in the same boat, because they're getting a lot less money for football now.
Yeah, it's very sad. For me, it's like almost... It sucks, because if I was 6'5 and 300 pounds, yes, I would be in a different sport, but I'm not. And I think if colleges just give up on this program just because it's at a dip right now, they're not trying to help the sport, they're not marketing it well like they do with, you know, their popular sports. So I think before they cut their programs, maybe give the same effort that you do to your most popular sports and see what it can do. Because in the beginning, women's NCAA gymnastics was not that popular, but they changed their scoring system. They adjusted to what the audience wanted, and look at it now. It's one of the most watched sports on TV. And I think this next quad, with the rules changing, it's really going to help men's gymnastics. It's going to make the meets shorter. The scoring might be easier to understand. So I think colleges just need to give it a chance, because the way I look at gymnastics is I look at all of our social media, and we all have thousands of followers. People like seeing it. We just need them to understand it, and that's the small thing I think we're missing. So I think if we can adapt what the girls did, it can really help our programs.
Where would the national team be now? How much has the college program contributed to the success that you guys have had?
Oh, every single Olympic quad, there's at least two guys that have gone through college. So to take away the NCAA would be almost taking away key stone steps for Olympic teams. We need the NCAA for U.S. men's gymnastics. It's our maturing ages. It's our team learning phases. It's everything, because we're becoming the adults, and usually men in gymnastics around their 20s is when they peak. And so to take that away, you know, I think you would see a decline in the U.S. men's team. And I think this past Worlds really showed what the NCAA can do. For the first time, we had all NCAA athletes, and we just came back with a medal. And before that, maybe we had someone that didn't go through it, or someone who just went pro. So they're two very different mindsets. So I think if you take that away, it will take away a lot from the Olympic team.
Can we talk a little bit about Simone coming back and San Jose Nationals? It seems like there's almost like a Taylor Swift factor when she's around, and just the difference, the vibe, and she's bringing a lot of eyeballs to her, but to you guys and everybody. But how she's impacting the sport?
Oh, it's amazing. Simone Biles, I don't know if you guys have ever met her personally, but she is a really sweet person, and to have her back in the sport, it means a lot, not just for us, but the gymnasts up and coming too. Everything that she's been through and all the eyes she's getting, it's good for her sport. It's bringing more people in, it's bringing more views in. So as long as she's around, you know, we know we're going to have a good crowd, and no matter what she does, at the end of the day, it is good for her sport, no matter what she does. And she's like she's like the goat of our sport. You know, there's always that one person that can make such a big impact in a sport, kind of like Tiger Woods with golf. She's like our Tiger Woods in gymnastics.
Yul, I wanted to ask you, you've used your platform to speak out about anti-Asian hate. Is that something that you've either, you know, connected with other athletes about, or do you plan to use the Olympic stage to talk about that?
So I have connected with other athletes about it, mostly more Asians, maybe some African Americans, just to understand what they felt. But for me, it's something that I stand with because it's important, and people need to understand that sometimes that will happen. But I think I'm also trying to turn it more in a positive way of making sure that if someone says it to you, you know, don't react. You know, there's always, like I said, there's always going to be someone who doesn't like you. You know, if you have one hater, you've made it. You know, that's kind of like my go-to. So for me, though, at the Olympic stage, you know, like I said, I'm team-focused. Whatever I need to do for the team, that's what I'm focused on. And then afterwards, when I'm more open, you know, we'll see where the door goes.
Is Russia not competing under their own flag? Probably a lot of athletes won't even be able to. Is that the sport? The gymnastics, Russia's been such a powerhouse over the side. You don't have control, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. You know, we're not training over there. We're not training over at other countries. We're training in the U.S., so we don't know what, you know, it could suck, it could be good. You know, we don't know what those athletes are thinking. The only people that have opinions are the people we train with and talk with every single day. So it's very hard to answer that question because there are so many different opinions and different sides and different history. So it's all, you know, maybe if you could, you know, go talk to those athletes and get what they're thinking, because I'm never going to say an opinion on something that I'm not in or been in or learned about.
The U.S. Olympic gymnastics team trials will take place at the end of June. Well, that'll do it for Quest for Gold for this week. Reminder, you can go back and listen to previous interviews with Olympic hopefuls at WGNRadio.com and where podcasts are available. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll see you here next week.